Okay, we're continuing our study in the book of Deuteronomy. If you want to look at Deuteronomy chapter 11, is kind of where we're jumping in here. Remember, in this whole section, the Lord is preparing them to go into the promised land. So the Lord's taking some time to get them to right into the right mindset and just preparing their hearts for what they're going to face in there. And they're great lessons for us because we're going into the promised land of the Spirit-filled life. That's something that we have opportunity to do. And we talk about that a bunch. And, you know, I was thinking it's not really an option for the believer. The Lord commands us to be filled with the Spirit. So it's something that every believer should be open to allow the Lord to come in and take their life and use it for His glory. So as we see this, it's really important stuff for us too. Now, if you look down to chapter 11, verse 1, it starts out by saying, "Therefore, you shall love the Lord your God and keep His charge, His statutes, His judgments, and His commandments always." And it starts out with that word, "therefore." And that word points backward to something that's already been said. And I want to jump back to chapter 10. We're just going to read some of chapter 10 to bring us up to speed to understand why he said "therefore" before he said this. So if you go back to chapter 10 and verse 12, we're going to it actually points back to that point there. And it says in chapter 10, verse 12, "And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command you today for your good." And we talked about last time how important it is that he said all these things God's calling you to do and obey him in, it's for your good. So the point there is when we do things God's way, it always turns out for our good. You know, the Lord told us all things work together for good for those who are the loved, the called, according to his purpose there. So anytime we're willing to say, "Lord, I want to do it your way," it's going to turn out for good. We may not see it instantly, but as time goes on, you eventually see that God is working it out for your good. So it's really important to get that one down. We're going to see more of this as we go on. Verse 14, "Indeed, heaven and the highest heavens belong to the Lord your God, also the earth with all that is in it." So he's saying the Lord is the one who gives us commands, and he owns every single thing there is, so he knows what he's talking about. He owns all of heaven, even the highest heaven, and he owns even the earth. So when he tells us how things work, it's his design. He knows exactly how things are to work. So we are smart to listen to the designer. Verse 15, "The Lord delighted only in your fathers to love them, and he chose their descendants after them," talking to the Israelites here, "you above all peoples as it is this day." And God had chosen them. He was going to work through them to bring the Messiah to the whole world. So the Lord, it goes back to that promise to Abraham, all nations are going to be blessed through him. And that's through their race that the Lord was going to bring the Messiah through them. So verse 16 then, "Therefore, circumcise the foreskin of your heart and be stiff-necked no longer." So he's saying, don't be led by our own sinful flesh. Get that out of the way and follow the Lord. "For the Lord your God is God of gods." I love this description of the Lord. Beautiful picture of God here. "For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality nor takes a bribe." So you can't buy him off. Verse 18, "He administers justice for the fatherless and for the widow. He loves the stranger, giving him food and clothing." And the stranger is talking about the foreigner, the non-Jewish person there that's living among them. "Therefore, love the stranger, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt." They were foreigners there. "You shall fear the Lord your God. You shall serve him. And to him you shall hold fast and take oaths in his name." So hold tightly to the Lord. And everything you do in life, you hold on to him. You do it his way. And then verse 21, I love this passage as well. It says, "He is your praise." So if you want to know, what do I have to praise the Lord about? You can praise God because he is worthy to be praised. And that's why the praise songs we sang were so awesome. Just, you are our praise, Lord. And it goes on, it says, "And he is your God." And one of the main points we see is right here in verse 21, and this is what's leading up to that therefore as well. He says, He is your praise, He is your God, who has done for you these great and awesome things which your eyes have seen. Saying God has done these amazing things and you have seen them happen. So he's talking to the Israelites here and he's saying, this is your God. He's awesome. He's amazing. He is praiseworthy. And he's the one who did all of these things and he did them all for you. Amazing that the Lord would do that. And he says, your fathers went down to Egypt with 70 persons. And now the Lord your God has made you as the stars of heaven in multitudes. So the Lord is fulfilling that promise he made to Abraham. They are great in number at that point. And then he says in chapter 11, verse 1, therefore, you shall love the Lord your God. You shall keep his charge and his statutes, his judgments and his commandments always. So what he's saying there is obey everything that he tells you. That's what it comes down to. He lists all of those things there, you know, his charge, his statutes, his judgments, his commandments, and always. Okay? So one of the main things that God wants to get across to them and to us is obey everything that the Lord tells you to do. Every single thing that he says, obey him in that. You know, as you read your Bible, as you sit in on the teaching of the Bible, whether it is in service or it's in a Bible study or the radio or TV, whatever it is where you're hearing the truth from God's Word, obey everything that the Lord tells you. Okay, there will even be times when the Lord puts something or someone on your heart, and the more you walk in obedience to the Lord, you learn to be more sensitive to the Spirit's leading like that. We were just talking about that earlier, where somebody said, a person came to mind, I need to learn just to keep to pray for them as soon as I hear that name in my mind that I hadn't heard in a while or thought of them, to start praying. So, yeah, whatever the Lord does, you know, allow that to be an act of obedience for you. And we learn to be more sensitive to the Lord. There are times like that where something's going on and we're thinking about something and we may not have the first thought of, I wonder if God wants me to pray about that. But he probably does. Okay, so that's something we learn as time goes on and we grow with the Lord. Once you start seeing stuff like that where somebody comes to mind and maybe 2 days later you hear about them or you're talking to them and you're thinking, okay, that was the Lord trying to get me to pray. But the Lord's telling us here, because of everything he's done for them, you know, you need to obey everything he tells you. All right, and in verse 2 it goes on, know today that I do not speak with your children who have not known, had have not seen the chastening of the Lord your God, his greatness and his mighty hand and his outstretched arm. So he's not talking to the third generation, he says at this point, because they haven't been eyewitnesses to the things that the second generation has seen. And he mentions some of those things there, that chastening of the Lord. That's the loving but firm discipline of the Lord. The Lord's had to discipline them a few times in the last 40 years as they were going through the wilderness. And as they sat under that disciplining work of the Lord, they saw that God was there and he loved them enough to discipline them, to stop them from going the wrong direction. And they also saw his powerful work in their lives and all around them as well, not just in their life, but how God was working all over the place in all the work that's been going on with these children of Israel. But he says, I'm talking to the second generation because you guys have seen this stuff. Some of them were probably kids, you know, when the Lord appeared in the mountain there and gave the Ten Commandments and all those things. And even though their parents passed away from the first generation because they didn't trust the Lord, some of them were probably alive at that point and able to see some of those things because the Lord says, you guys, you've seen this stuff. They were eyewitnesses. So he says, your children now that are born now, they didn't see all of that. They didn't see Egypt. They didn't see me rescue them from Egypt or all the things that they did. So he said, I'm speaking to you guys who should know better. You were eyewitnesses, okay? Now, the Lord's going to remind them of how he powerfully protected them and how he watched over them and how he's done the same for us. We'll see as we get into this next section. If you look at verse 3, his signs and his acts which he did in the midst of Egypt to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and to all his land. So God's talking about his protection for them. And he says, first of all, he protected them by setting them free from Egypt. And we went through that story. We saw a lot of the works that God did to get them free from that place. Now for us, he set us free from our sin. He brought us. He set us free from the world the very moment that we came to receive Christ. He rescued us from our Egypt, the place where we were in slavery to sin. Okay, so the Lord's given them reasons here to show why they should trust him because of what he's done for them in the past. And it's the same for us. That should build our trust in the Lord, that if he can free us from all of our sins, you know, what can't he do? That's an impossible task from our perspective. And yet God did that for us. So there's a good reason for us to trust him in that. Then in verse 4 it says, here's another thing he did. What he did to the army of Egypt, to their horses and their chariots, how he made the waters of the Red Sea overflow them as they pursued you, and how the Lord has destroyed them to this day. So he protected them not only by setting them free from Egypt, but he protected them by destroying the Egyptian army. So for you and me, by destroying the powerful hold that the sinful world had over us, that's the work he did. That's our Egyptian army that was coming after us. The world tried to drag you back to do things you used to do. So our flesh, it's interesting, it may still be drawn back to the junk that we used to be into before we came to Christ. But you know what? It sure doesn't bring pleasure like it used to if you try to go back to the world. You find out you might go through the same motions, but that pleasure is gone because the Lord doesn't want you to be pleased with the junk of this world. Matter of fact, we talked about this before. It's actually dead stuff to us. And that's why the Lord tells them, don't touch the dead things. Don't go back. And if you touch something dead, now you've got to be cleansed. Now, I'm going to give you this ugly picture because we need this. It's like touching that dead animal on the side of the road. Okay? Can you imagine you're going down the road and curiosity might make you say, wonder what that is? So you get closer, you know. But to actually think of touching that thing is pretty nasty. It's all bloated. It's got flies swarming around it. And it stinks to high heaven. Okay? That's our old sinful stuff from this world. And it is yucky. Okay, and God gives us this picture of something dead that you just don't even want to mess with it. All right, so the Lord protected them by destroying the Egyptian army. For us, he destroyed that hole that the world had on us that wanted us to stay right there in our sin and that desire for it even to pull us back. The Lord broke the power of that in our life. We can walk free from that now by the work the Lord's doing. Then in verse 5, it says, what he did for you in the wilderness until you came to this place. So another way God protected them was by providing for all of their needs while they were in the wilderness. So this world, as you think about it, that we're living in now, is kind of a wilderness for us compared to heaven, where we're headed in the future, you know. And the Lord graciously provides our needs here in this life. And I know if you've walked with the Lord for some time, I'm sure you've seen as you look back that you saw the ways the Lord provided for you in just amazing ways. You know, answered prayers when you were in desperate need and you needed God to come through, and he did. And he just provided for you. And then these are all reasons for us to say, I can trust you, Lord. You rescued me from Egypt, from the sin that I was in slavery to. You freed me from that Egyptian army, the world chasing after me, wanting me to come back again. The power of that. And you freed me from it. And Lord, you provided for all of my needs. I'm still here today. I'm still alive. I'm still breathing. You've taken me through some difficult times. These are all reasons for us to say, man, we for sure should love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. Go on to verse 6. Something else he did. It says, of what he did to Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, the son of Reuben. And this is back with the rebellion of Korah. These guys were involved in that. Says how the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them up, their households, their tents, and all the substance that was in their possession in the midst of all Israel. So God protected them by removing the influence of rebellion that had come among them. And if you read the story, if you go back and take time to read that story again, it's an amazing picture because here these guys were coming up to Moses and Aaron and saying, you guys aren't that special. Who do you think you are? Any of us can serve the Lord in the way that you're doing that. You guys aren't the ones that have to do this. You just put yourself in that position. And of course, Moses said, well, you guys show up tomorrow and we'll find out what God has to say about that. But when they came, you know, it says they had the whole congregation stirred up, standing behind them, these rebellious guys. So that influence of rebellion is a dangerous thing. And the Lord removed that from them. Remember the story, he opened up the ground and the ground swallowed them up and then it closed over top of them. So it's like, okay, we got a problem. God says, I'm going to open the ground. Problem gone. Removed. Okay. So, and then it says the congregation was fleeing after that. They ran the other way. Very wise. You know, if God says, I'm taking people out that want to be involved in rebellion. They said, okay, we quit. We're done. We're not going to rebel. We're going to go back home. You know, so they did head the other way. So the Lord protected them by doing that. You know, it's interesting. Think about this. The Lord protects us too from the influences of rebellion. And he's given us some things to help us in that. He's given us his word, the Bible. All right, man. As we get into the word, we see truth. And it helps us to see the difference between truth and any error, anything that anybody would bring up to try to get us rebellious against the Lord and what he's doing. So he's given us his word. He's also given us the church itself. The Lord calls the church in the New Testament the pillar and the foundation of truth. So if they're teaching the Word of God, if the Word of God is being put forth, then the church is that place where you can go to say, I just want to hear some truth. You know, we're praying for the kids in school that they're protected because there's a lot of junk evolution and all the foolishness that goes with that being promoted there. So we pray the Lord protect the kids from taking that stuff in. Let them see the foolishness of that stuff, you know, that it just doesn't add up. But the Lord says the church, it should be the place that is that pillar of truth, the foundation that has truth there. And you can come to the church and say, I know I'm going to hear truth today. I know I'm going to see it in the Word of God. As I'm hearing it taught, I can look in the Bible, I can see this is what God said. This is truth, okay? Also, the Lord has given to the church, he's given pastors and he's given church leaders and teachers of the church. And they're teaching truth, hopefully, as they are. And part of their job is to protect the sheep from false teachers who stir up rebellion and division. That's part of the responsibility of leadership. So that's something that has to happen as well. God's given us things to prevent us having that influence of rebellion, that bad influence that's there. And finally, the amazing thing to me, and as a pastor I see, is the Lord himself, he gives himself to protect us. Because sometimes he just outright removes the influence. He just takes it away on his own without us ever even having to deal with it. It's like, wow, Lord, thank you so much. The way you protect your church. You take the rebellion and just take it out of the way. Just like there with Korah. You know, the ground opened up, took them, and they're gone. They're out of there. So the Lord has made provision to protect us from stuff like that. Because it's real easy for us to fall into some of these things. And the Lord guards us and tells us to guard ourselves against those things. Then it says in verse 7, but your eyes have seen every great act of the Lord which he did. So he's saying you guys were eyewitnesses to God's protection and God's provision. You saw this with your very own eyes. And you know what? If we are truly the followers of Christ, then we've seen that same thing in our life. You look back and see how God has protected your life at times. I think most of us here, if we had everybody raise their hands, is there a time in your life where you could have died and you didn't? Or God just outright protected you? Yeah, I know. There's a number of times you look back and say, wow, God did do things to protect us in miraculous ways. You know, so yeah, we've seen God do that. And his provision, like I said, we can think back on times. Hopefully you've seen God do that. If you step out in faith, you'll see the Lord do those things of making provision for you. It's just amazing how that works. So the Lord says, I'm talking to you guys. You're eyewitnesses. All right. You know what? If we've been walking with the Lord and seeing him work in our lives and in the lives of people around us, we're eyewitnesses too. We've seen the amazing things that God has done. So verse 8, we come to another, therefore, if you've seen all these things, he said, you shall keep how many commandments? Every commandment which I command you today. Every commandment that I'm going to command you today. So the Lord's saying, since we know he cares about us so much, that he's done all this to protect us, he's done all this to provide for us, that we're still here, since we know those things, you know, then we should be willing to say, Lord, I will do everything you tell me to do. I will follow every commandment. He protects us. He watches over us. He cares for our needs. So, you know, we can obey the Lord in everything he tells us. And because we know he's not going to steer us wrong. The things that the Lord tells us, that may not make sense to us sometimes, but they're never wrong. It's never the wrong direction to go, because we know God is faithful. He's always looking out for us. So if he tells us something, he leads us into something, it's not a bad thing at all. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. Isn't it crazy how hard it is for us to trust the Lord sometimes? You know, I have to talk to a guy that was in church for 20 years, and it still bugs me that he told me, he says, well, I've never really fully given my life to the Lord because I'm afraid of what he might do with it. I'm thinking, how sad that is. You don't trust God enough to give me your entire life? He says, yeah, he might send me on the other side of the world and be a missionary to China or something, you know. I'm thinking, if that's where God wants you, that's where you need to be. That's the best place in the world for you. Yeah, but you hear stuff like that. It just, to me, it boggles my mind to hear that, you know. After walking with the Lord as a believer, we have learned that God is trustworthy. You know, what he tells you is true. It's going to work. Do it his way. That's why we need to lean not on our own understanding, as the Lord says, but instead trust the Lord with all of our heart. Go back to verse 8 again. Look what happens here. He says, therefore, you shall keep every command which I command you today. That, now that word that there is telling us these are the results. This is what's going to happen if you walk in obedience to the Lord, obeying everything that he tells you to do. And it says that you may be strong and go in and possess the land which you cross over to possess, and that you may prolong your days in the land which the Lord swore to give your fathers, to them and their descendants, a land flowing with milk and honey. So he tells us there are some results of this obedience. It's not... You won't see, it's that you're going to not get anything out of it. There's some great benefits. So one of the results, he says, is that you may be strong. So the more we obey the Lord, the stronger we grow spiritually. And that's just the way it is. If you want to be strong in the Lord, then you need to obey the Lord. You need to do things his way. And you find as you continue to obey the Lord and trust him, keep doing what he says, you end up growing spiritually and you're stronger. And the cool thing about that is, then other people can lean on you when they need to have somebody there. You can tell them, God will help you through this, man. He's helped me many times through this stuff. God will help you. Yeah, we need to have that spiritual strength for other people. Okay? So he says that the Lord wants them to be able to go into this land and to be strong. And this is one of the results that will happen if they obey. Then he says that you may go in to the land. And that's the idea of actually trusting God enough to set foot in the place. You know? They know their enemies there. Lord says, hey, one of the results is you'll be able to go into that land. And that's a good thing. So the point for us is we're able to walk by faith. You know, as we trust the Lord, as we obey him, we're able to walk in that. We're able to say, man, I trust God. I'm sure if you talk to folks about the Lord, they've asked you, why do you do what you do? Because I trust God. Because they look at that and say, that don't make a lot of sense. It's what God said to do. So I trust God. That's why I do it his way. You know? So yeah, you're able to walk in faith. That's an awesome thing. Trusting everything that God says to be true. And then he says, not only that you may be strong and go in, but you may possess the land which you cross over to possess. Now for us, remember this is talking about walking into the Spirit-filled life. So as we do that, we're able to possess the land, meaning we're able to walk by the power of the Spirit. And we actually possess the Spirit-filled life. That's something that we have as part of our being. And then he said in verse 9 that you may prolong your days in the land. You know, and for us, we can have many days, but the point of our days is, are they really what they should be? God wants us to have full days, rich days, days that are not empty and wasted. So this is what the Lord intends, not only for them. He said, I want you to have prolonged your days in the land which the Lord swore to give to your fathers, to them and their descendants. So it just goes on, how God wants to bless them in that land, a land flowing with milk and honey. So these lists here that we looked at, verses 8 and 9, these are the results of living an obedient life. Okay, so if we look at our life and we say, well, I'm not experiencing those things in my life, I haven't seen those things, then maybe we need to ask ourselves, am I obeying the Lord in everything that he has told me to do? Or am I just kind of doing the buffet kind of thing where I'm just picking and choosing what I want to obey? Just taking what I like and not taking the whole thing, you know? Because if the Lord gives us a promise like this and says, hey, here's what I want for you, That's for complete obedience is what he's talking about, right? He said, if you obey every command I give you, then this is what you can expect to see happen in your life. And those are some tremendous blessings, you know. To grow stronger spiritually, to walk in faith, walk in the power of the Spirit, have rich days that are full of the Lord, and seeing what God's doing in your life every day, that's an awesome thing. Lord said it's very possible if you obey me completely. And don't just play games and pick and choose what you want to obey. Verse 10, it says, for the land, the Lord tells them, for the land which you go to possess is not like the land of Egypt from which you have come, where you sowed your seed and you watered it by foot as a vegetable garden. So it took a lot of work to do that. Verse 11, but the land which you cross over to possess, that promised land, is a land of hills and valleys which drinks water from the rain of heaven, a land for which the Lord your God cares. God cares about that place. The eyes of the Lord your God are always on it, from the beginning of the year to the very end of the year. So, wow, can you look at the difference here? Where would you rather be? He says you have Egypt, where you got to do all the hard work and just hope something's going to happen. You hope you don't have a drought. You hope the water's enough. You hope you get enough everything to make the plants grow and you get what you need. But here he says, this is such a blessed place. God waters the land. They drink in the water from God. God cares for that place. His eyes are on there from the beginning of the year all the way to the end of the year. And that's an amazing thing. See, the pagan culture they're going into, they were very selective. Their little gods they had, which were false gods, they had small, limited abilities. So you would pray really hard, give us a harvest, you know, and pray really hard, give us the rain, you know. Whatever you needed, you had to pray really hard and hope something happened. And it probably wasn't going to happen the way you hoped. But here, this is the Spirit-filled life the Lord's talking about in the Promised Land. He says, in this one, who's doing all the work? God's doing all the work. So you can have Egypt where you do all the work, and good luck with that. Or you can go to a place that God's blessing like crazy. His eyes are on it, and he does all the work. Okay. So what we see here is the difference between living in the flesh, the old life before Christ, versus the new life of living in the Spirit. So in the old life of sin, everything was done in our own strength, and it was weak, and it took a whole lot of effort. But the Spirit-filled life in Christ has the very power of God working in us and through us. Not even, you know, the Lord does these things not just to bless us, but to bless others through us, right? So we don't have to rely on our own weak strength. As a matter of fact, we can't do that because Jesus said, without me, you can't do anything. So in the Spirit-filled life, we lean heavy on the Lord, and the Lord comes through. He does his thing. We do it his way. Amazing to watch. So verse 13, and it shall be that if you earnestly obey my commands, which I command you today, if you earnestly do that, to love the Lord your God, this is what it's talking about, serving him with all your heart, with all your soul. The Lord doesn't want half commitment. He needs full commitment. He doesn't accept that. And remember, I said, go to remember that is if you're standing at the altar ready to get married, and when you take your vows and you say you're going to love them for better, for worse, and all this, you say, well, for some of that, but not all of that. I don't want to go that far. I mean, that's the same thing with us thinking God should take less from us. I tip my hat towards God on Sunday. He doesn't need the rest of the week. I'm committed to him on Sunday, but that's his day. But the rest of the week, I do what I want to do. It's my week. Yeah, how would you like that? Well, I'll be married to you one day a week, but the rest of the week, it's mine. Don't bug me, okay? Leave me alone. How'd you like to have a marriage like that? No thanks, right? Yeah, so that's what the Lord's calling for. He said, if you sincerely, you know, want to make, if you earnestly obey my commands, you're loving me for real, not just to make a show of things. You're willing to serve me because you want to serve me out of love. You know, he says, and give me your heart, give me your soul, all of it. That's what he's after. So the Lord says if we sincerely love him enough to obey him in every single area of our life, look what we can expect. And that's in verse 14. He said, then I will give you the rain for your land in its season, the early rain and the latter rain, that you may gather in your grain, your new wine, and your oil. And I will send grass in your fields for your livestock, that you may eat and still be hungry? Noah says, you may eat and be filled, satisfied. Pretty cool. So notice here, he's talking about, he's going to bring the rain to them. if they obey the Lord and do everything He said, if they really love Him for real and not playing games about it, He says, I'm going to bless you with that rain. Okay? And that rain's going to do a lot of things for them. Now, it's interesting because rain here is a picture of the Word of God. It's a picture of the Bible. I want you to look at Isaiah 55 for a second here and notice this link we have between rain and between God's Word. This Isaiah 55 has a lot of great promises and instruction for us here, but if you look at Isaiah 55 and down to verse 10, Isaiah chapter 55 verse 10 says, "For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven," that moisture, "and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater." So that rain's going to come down. It's going to help produce stuff. "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." So this picture of the Lord sending rain to them in the Old Testament here back in Deuteronomy 11, that's a picture of God saying, I'm going to bless you with things that are going to produce good stuff in your life, the food that you want to eat. So for us, that's a picture of the Word of God as we take in the Word of God, as we receive that truth into our life. Here's how it applies to us. And think this through. I think this is really cool when you catch this here. The early rain. Remember, the Lord says, I'm going to give you the early rain in the spring. I'll give you the latter rain towards the fall. And the crops will be really healthy. They're going to be producing great. And I was even talking to a retired farmer at the shop not too long ago. And this is before these rains started a couple weeks ago. And it was dry for a whole month, you know. He said, right now the farmers, if they got a 2-inch rain, they would think they're in heaven. Because they had such a great beginning at the spring, you know. Got their crops in time. The rains came. It's the healthiest the corn has ever looked in this area that this farmer could remember. And he was in his 80s right now. So he's just amazed. And here, lo and behold, right after we're talking about that, the rains have come, you know. So this is the latter rain. This is what the farmers are like. I can't believe we're really getting the stuff, you know. It's working. Yeah, now they got to pray it dries up enough to get their stuff out there to take it in. But at this point, they got the early rain, they got the latter rain, and they are thrilled because of that, okay? Now, get that picture for us spiritually. The early rain encourages the sprouting of the seed and the new growth. That's what the early rains do when they come. That's a picture of us getting into the Bible as a Spirit-filled believer walking with Christ. And what happens? God brings new things into our life. God opens up areas for us to serve Him. Maybe some areas we never dreamed possible, you know. I tell you what, I think I mentioned this to you before, but one time after I had been filled with the Spirit, I asked the Lord to do that for one of the first times in my life, and God honored that. Man, I obeyed what He said, be filled with the Spirit. So I did. I asked the Lord to do that, and lo and behold, He did. And I did a funeral. After that, I was asked to do a funeral. And I just did the message the Lord gave me to give to the people there. And there was no altar call or anything like that. And the one guy told me his nephew was there, and he was backslidden at the time. And he said, my nephew almost walked the aisle at the funeral home because he was so convicted by what God was saying through His Word. It had nothing to do with me. I asked the Lord to fill me with His Spirit, and the Lord says, I'm going to honor that and watch what I do. I'm going to do a new thing, something here that you weren't expecting. I'm going to bring such conviction through something like that that I'll draw this guy back to myself at a funeral of all places. Wow. You know, wasn't my plan at all. I was just trying to do what God said to do. And the being that early rain, the Lord opening the door to new things, seeing new stuff happen. So, man, if you want to see God do some stuff, walk into that Spirit-filled life and watch what God will do. I mean, we've seen so many answered prayers around here. Look at what the Lord's doing. You know, we have Bible studies throughout the week. We have home fellowships. We get all this stuff going. We saw an amazing blessing at the fair. It's just awesome to see what the Lord is doing. And it's all Him. We just give all praise to Him. It has nothing to do with us. We're just the vessels that God's using. And we thank Him for that opportunity. So the early rain. As we get the Word of God into us and we're open to that, and that Spirit-filled life, man, the Lord uses that. Also, the latter rain What does that do? The latter rain comes at the end of the growing season, and it brings the crops to maturity. So a healthy crop at the very end. That pictures for us the fruit that God produces in our spirit-filled life. The way he has used us to touch other people's lives. How God has worked in other people's lives through us. Okay, that's the latter rain. And let me ask you, don't you long for that? Don't you long for God to use your life to touch somebody else? To see God make an eternal change in that person's life. Because you said, Lord, just work through me. Just speak through me. Help me get out of the way. You reach that person for you. You tell them what they need to know. You encourage them. You give them the truth about who the Messiah is, that is Jesus, and what he did for them. Just, I'd love to be used, Lord, to be used by you for that. Yeah, that's what we should long for, to see God work in other people's lives through us. Yeah. Well, if you do long for that, then you have to be saved, you have to be spirit-filled, and you have to be obedient. Those are the three requirements to really see God work through you that way, and you get to enjoy it. I mean, God, like we said, he can use a donkey if he has to, but I don't think you get much joy out of that one, you know. You want to be exactly the best usable person you can be. So looking at this, this is taking in the Word of God as a spirit-filled believer. That's that picture of that rain that God says, I will pour on you. And the stuff he opens his Word to us is amazing, the stuff he shows us. So, does the spirit-filled life look attractive to you? I hope it does. You know, because if so, if you haven't asked the Lord Jesus yet to fill you with the Spirit, then what are you waiting for? Somebody said, the water's just fine. Come on in, you know. Somebody else might say, go ahead and take the Nestea plunge. You have to be a little older to understand that one. That was an older commercial, but jump on in, man. Jump on in. Yeah, don't wait another day. Like the Lord said, today is the day of salvation. And today is the day that we all need to be spirit-filled. That's a command from the Lord. Don't waste another minute. Don't hold back anything from the Lord. Now, look at the end of verse 14. He says, you're going to get this early rain, latter rain. For what reason? That you may gather in your grain, your new wine, and your oil. Now, those have spiritual significance for us, too. The grain is what they use to make bread. And that's a picture of the bread of life, Jesus. For us, that's talking about enjoying a closer walk with Jesus. That's the grain for us, enjoying a fuller Christian experience with him. The closest you'll get to the Lord is being filled with the Spirit, man. Just letting his Spirit rule you, letting him have control of your life. Then it says you get that new wine. The new wine's a picture of joy. For us, that's the joy of walking in the Spirit, having the fruit of the Spirit come out of our lives. And remember what that fruit is? It's love. As God is having his love work through us, that's the joy we get. That's the new wine. And the picture of oil there he mentions we'll get, that's a picture of the Holy Spirit himself. That's a picture of the Spirit. It's amazing the sense of leading of the Spirit as he gently puts things in your heart. Or how he gently points things out to you as you study his word. Or he fills you with joy as you allow him to work through that gift he has given you when you first came to Christ. And let me just mention this here because this kind of came up in study as I was preparing this. When we're born again, the Holy Spirit gives us a spiritual gift, at least one. Okay, and it's kind of like things that we're born with. Maybe you're born with an ability to use your hands really well, you know. Not everybody has that, but God made you that way. Or you might have the ability to do math well or something like that. You just have that about you. That's part of your makeup. Well, when you're born again, you have things about your makeup too that God made you. He gave you a spiritual gift, at least one, to be used for his glory. Okay? Yeah, the Spirit gave us a spiritual gift to be used. Unfortunately, though, many Christians I know in our country seem to be just sitting on their gift. It's kind of like a birthday gift that you never bother to open. You know, and if that's you, then open the gift and let the Spirit work through you. He wants to use you in this life. He's given you a reason, a purpose in your life, and he's gifted you to do something for him. So then in verse 15, he said also he's going to send the grass in your fields for your livestock, and the result of that would be that you may eat and be filled. Isn't it good to eat and be filled? Yeah, we always kid about us being calorie chapel. We love to eat. We enjoy that part, you know. Love the fellowship. Love that stuff. And it's so good to eat and be filled, you know. Have you ever gone to a restaurant and the portions were so small that you weren't filled up? Like, yeah. And that's not much fun, right? You were hoping to have a full meal and didn't get that. Or some of you come from big families and maybe by the time the bowl was passed to you, there wasn't enough to fill you up. I've heard some of those stories too. Get it now because it's not coming back a second time, right? But isn't it good to eat and be filled up, you know? You know, for us spiritually, what that is? It's being completely satisfied. And that's when we've allowed God's Spirit to fill us. We've allowed His Spirit to use us. We've seen God work through us as He's touched other people's lives. And we just get that feeling like after a good meal, where you can sit back and go, man, it's so cool. Yeah, if you've not experienced that, man, I'm telling you, use your spiritual gift. See what God can do in your life. And you'll get to that point where you just go, wow, this is so cool. So cool to see God work. And that's that filling, that being eating and being filled with spiritually what God's got for you. So it's a spiritual satisfaction where you know you're where God wants you. You're knowing you're doing what God wants you to do. And you're not under super heavy conviction when somebody asks you, are you serving the Lord? Yeah, you don't want to go, don't ask me that question because I'm not, you know. Yeah, it's an awesome thing to serve the Lord, man. Find out what your gift is. Use that gift for the Lord. If you need to find out, then we can help you with some resources and maybe help find where you're gifted if you don't know. Verse 16, take heed to yourselves. And man, if you mark your Bibles, that's something you need to mark right there. This is a very strong warning. The Lord says, take heed to yourselves. And the reason, lest your heart be deceived and you turn aside and you serve other gods and worship them. The Lord gave them this is a very strong warning right in the midst of these blessings. You know, I'm going to bless you here, bless you here, bless you here, bless you here if you'll do what I tell you to do. Then He has to put this warning, take heed to yourselves because we can be deceived. And you know what? We can easily be deceived and be tempted to worship other things in this life rather than worship God. You know? So how do we know that's possible? Well, without even looking in the mirror, we can look at Israel here and they blew it down the road. They didn't stay obedient to the Lord, or should I say, they didn't stay completely obedient to the Lord. Yeah, they obeyed in a few things and they served God with part of their heart, but just not with all their heart. You know, as God said they should. God didn't accept that partial obedience. And you look at the sad result of not taking heed to yourself. And the Lord shows us that in verse 17. Here's the problem. Verse 17, lest the Lord's anger be aroused against you, and He shut up the heavens so there be no rain, and the land yield no produce, and you perish quickly from the good land which the Lord is giving you. Now, let me mention here as a side note on this one, the Lord here gives us a really cool thing to understand the rest of the Old Testament from this point, right here in what He just said here in verse 17 and this whole last section about the rain. The Lord told Israel at this point, if you obey me completely, if you're walking with me, I will pour the rain on you and it'll bless the socks off of the land. It'll bless the socks off of you. But on the other side of that, He said, if you turn away from me, I will withhold the rain. So you know what? There's a key He gave us right here. So the rest of the Old Testament, and you check this out. When you read a passage and you see it just say, well, at this time there was a famine in the land, and it goes on and tells you the story. It tells you right there what Israel is doing. They have turned away from God. That's why there's a famine in the land. God has withheld the rain. They did not get the produce. They're not enjoying the blessing of God. So this is a key right here. This is an important passage. For that alone, that it tells us for the rest of the time, you can get a spiritual thermometer. How's Israel doing? Well, let's see what's going on in the background. Are they having a time of great produce? Or are they having a time of famine? And I'll tell you exactly where they're at with the Lord. Okay, pretty interesting. Spiritually, what does that mean for us? No rain, no produce. That means you will wither spiritually. Yeah, a good test for us and how we're doing spiritually is this, a real simple, practical one. How eager and excited are you when you get a chance to read your Bible? Is this something you think, oh man, this is awesome. I can't wait to get the Word of God. I can't wait to open the Word. That's a good thing because you're taking in the rain. You know that? But if you're saying, I don't want to read the Bible today, maybe tomorrow. I was talking to somebody the other day, and they said, yeah, I try to read the Bible, but sometimes I go a month and I've never opened the Bible, you know, and I'm thinking, that's a spiritual dryness. Makes me dry to even think about that, you know what I mean? Yeah, hopefully God works on us. It takes discipline, you know, for us to get in the Word every day. But amazing thing happens, you get an appetite for the Word, and you look forward to it. You say, man, I can't wait to open the Word. What are you going to tell me today, Lord? What are you going to show me today? What are you going to put your finger on today in my life? What are you going to do to lead me, to prepare me for somebody I'm going to talk to today? Somebody you're bringing across my path, you know? So the good test for a spiritual, you can do this tonight before you go to bed. You can do it tomorrow morning, you wake up and say, I want to read, I'm going to take the Bible out. How eager am I to get in there? Is it a joyous thing or is it a duty? I got to do this again. That's exactly where you're at spiritually. Rain or no rain? Wow. What a principle. Another question. How much fruit are you seeing in your life? Is God working through you? Are you allowing Him to do that? And is it His way of doing things? Or is it just stuff you conjure up on yourself? Or is it actually the Lord saying, I'm going to minister through you because this person needs truth. This person needs my encouragement, not your encouragement, but my encouragement. You know, or is God using you to touch other people's lives? Good questions for us, hard questions, but good questions for us spiritually. Because I don't know about you, as we look at this passage, I want the rich promised land, the land flowing with milk and honey. That's what I want to see. I don't want to be in that dry place of like, oh man, we haven't seen rain in a long time. I don't like that. Remember that famine we had here a couple years ago, that drought that came through 2 years ago? Remember how dry that was? It's like another day, no rain. Another day, no rain. That was a lot of fun. People still talk about that, you know. 2 years ago, they're still saying, man, I don't want to go back to that again. Hopefully, spiritually, we say the same thing. I don't want dryness in my spiritual life. I want the richness of my spiritual life. To do that, what do you got to do? Obey everything God tells you. Not everything. How about just some of it? Get ready for no rain, no produce. Yeah, the Lord says, I got a qualifier in this one. You need to obey what I tell you to do. And then you'll see my hand in your life. It's a joyous place to be. This place of the promised land, the spirit for life, it's not a sad place. This is a great place to be. Awesome place to be. Tough? Oh yeah, it's tough at times. Got some wars to fight, man. We got some enemies on the land. They got to go. We got to go in there and take them out. But man, it's a place that God blesses. He watches over that land from the beginning of the year to the end. Man, if you want to be in that place where God's watching over and He's blessing, He's working, you got to submit to the Lord. You got to surrender. You got to give up your will and say, not my will be done, Lord. Your will be done in my life. We're going to close at this point. Hopefully the Lord's poked at your heart on this one, because great passage from God. Great passage. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ, you need to start right there. You need to go to the cross. Jesus paid for your sins completely. He said Himself, it is finished. Then God the Father raised Him from the dead after He died and was buried. And God the Father raised Him to prove He accepted that sacrifice for you and for me. He paid for our sins completely. Not a thing you can add to that. You can't say, I'm going to add a baptism so I get better with God. No. You can't say, I'm going to church and I'll get better with God. No. You go to the cross. God takes care of everything at the cross. Yeah, we come to church to get enriched and you get baptized, simply obey the Lord after we're saved, after we've come to Christ. But if you don't know Jesus today, don't leave without Him. He loves you so much. He wants you to be His child. He wants you to be in His family. And the only way to do that is come to the cross. Bow to what Jesus did for you. He paid for your sins. Thank Him and receive Him into your life. If you're a believer today and you've been hesitant, you've been holding off saying, I don't know if I want to completely surrender to the Lord. I don't know what He's going to do. He might send me to China as a missionary. Man, don't be foolish. Don't be disobedient. The Lord commanded us to be filled with the Spirit. Open yourself to that. Lord, fill me with Your Spirit. Let me surrender every single inch of my life to You, Lord. Take it and use it for Your glory. Let's pray. Jesus, You died on the cross for us, and we praise You and we thank You for that. Father, I thank You that You didn't hold back Your very best, but You gave Your only begotten Son to die for us, that whoever believes in Him may have eternal life. And I thank You, Father, that You let us come to You simply by faith to say, Jesus, I know You died for my sins, and I thank You for that, and I praise You for that. And I know you were raised from the dead, and you're God, and I just praise you and thank you for that. Father, I pray for any of us here today who may be hesitant to completely surrender to you. Help us, Lord, to get past whatever's in the way, whatever doubt the enemy's throwing in our mind right now. Lord, I just pray you would crush that thing and remove it. Lord, help us to submit and surrender to Jesus Christ completely. And ask you, Lord, just please fill us with your Spirit. Let us be open to that every single day of our life from this day forward. That you can just use us at the moment, Lord, whatever is needed to minister to somebody else. Help us, Lord, use that gifting you blessed us with. And Father, we give you all the praise, all the honor, all the glory. And Lord, we look forward to what you're going to do and thank you for letting us be part of it. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.